So what's, I looked up the definition from the Strong's of the definition of unfruitful. It's a negative participle, first off. That don't help you any, does it? It means Rachel would never know a negative participle. I saw one walking outside when I pulled in this morning. I ran over it. A negative participle, it means barren, literally or figuratively. It means without fruit, barren, not yielding, listen, not yielding what it ought to yield. It's not like expecting fruit from something that doesn't bear fruit. It doesn't expect fruit from this chair right here, but something like a fruit tree should bear fruit, right? So Matthew 13:22, I'm going to read these kind of quick. I'm not going to expect you to keep up with me, but you can jot them down so you can look them up later. Jesus said, he who receives seed among thorns is he who, what? Hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes what? Unfruitful. To me, that means that they were fruitful at one time, but they became unfruitful. Right? You're on fire, young lady. You're on fire, Danny. But you know what? If you don't guard your vineyard, in just a very short time, you can be dull and abnormal. You know, the kingdom of God is normal. And when people see normal, they think it's abnormal, right? The kingdom of God is, they say, you know, they always say, the kingdom of God is upside down. No, the kingdom of God is right side up. The rest of the world is upside down. So you got to know that it, anyway. The cares of the world, give me some cares of the world. Money? Money, 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 money. What else? What?
Porn?
Definitely. Anybody else? Work? Work? But you got to work. But if it consumes you, amen? If it consumes you, children, yes, they definitely, you're supposed to care for them, but they're not. I know what you're saying. Anybody else? Busyness. What did you say, Laura? Being under Satan's yoke, is that what you said busy is? I like that definition, being under Satan's yoke. So busyness can keep you away from the good things of God. Busyness doing things in church can keep you away from things of God. Things have to be done. But you've got to listen to God's timing on things, don't you? 1 Corinthians 14:13-14. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. There it is again, unfruitful, not bringing forth fruit. That means your understanding doesn't bring forth fruit, but your spirit brings forth fruit. See, there's a difference. You've got flesh and you've got spirit. You've got soul and you've got spirit. Your spirit, if your spirit's bringing forth fruit, that's the important thing, right? Yep. Ephesians 5:10-11. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship, how much? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And I think that scripture, confess your faults to one another that you might be healed. God forgive, man, you know, when you confess to Jesus, when you confess that I'm a sinner, I need you, God, wash me in your blood, when you do that, guess what? You are like clean, right? You're forgiven and your slate is wiped clean. But you know what? Sometimes, and I think your men, the men's thing, what you're talking about, is sometimes you've got to tell other people. You got to confess it to somebody else. because you get healed through that. And the trouble is I think lots of times people confess things and people have big mouths and they don't. It's not a conversation point. It's to pray for you. Like when you say, Victoria, you say, oh, Mark, I've got this going on, and you're my youth pastor, you're my youth leader, you need this, I need this, this is going on in my life, I'm struggling with this. You know, I could sit there and say, well, let me see, what's a good solution for that? That's the first thing we try to do is fix a problem. But what I ought to do is take her by the hands and say, hey, let's just get this under the blood, let's pray about this. Praise God, it's out in the open. The enemy can't expose it anymore, right? And it's freeing, isn't it? When you confess, it's freeing. I could tell you were freed, sis. You weren't ashamed of your past because your past is not your past anymore. You don't own it anymore. It's gone. Mark Stephen Avery is dead. My mom used to, boy, when I was late, staying out in the summertime, especially playing outside, you know, I'd hear a little bit, and I'd just ignore it because I'd go on playing it. But, boy, when my middle name got thrown in there, Mark Stephen Avery, get in here right now. Yes, Mom. I got to go home. And everybody's mom did it, you know. But when you hear that voice, you need to come home. You need to come home. He shouldn't even have to call you like that, but you need to come home. Because he cares for you and he knows you're getting in the danger zone. Amen. There's a danger zone out there, young people. Woo! Old people. People. Just people. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Titus 3:14, let our people learn to maintain. What's that mean? Well, if you pulled into the church lately at night, you noticed all the outside lights have burned out, like all at once. You've got to maintain. So I had to get online. I had to order these light bulbs and blah, blah, blah. It's got to be done. Got to keep the light shining, right? The city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You got to expose things. You got to maintain things. It says, maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. 2 Peter 1:5, but also for this very reason, give all diligence. What's that? Attention. Like you're going to diligently do something. It means I'm going to get this thing done. This is important. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control. See, this 40-day fast from unfruitful things, a big part of that is self-control, discipline. How many of y'all got a problem with discipline in your life? Like, I need to exercise, but I don't have time, or I don't take time. I use my time for something. Really, it's priorities, isn't it? It's priorities, right? You sit there and watch TV and watch Gilligan's Island for the 4,000th time, and it's like a choice. It feels good to just veg, right? It's easy to veg, isn't it? But boy, when you pull in and pull the Word of God out and start reading the Word of God and praying with your family or just going off and praying in the secret place by yourself, it's not easy. Sometimes when you're reading the Word of God, you may go to sleep. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Sometimes when you pray with your mate, they may go to sleep, or you may go to sleep. It happens, but you can't be frustrated. You got to keep pressing in. Get rid of these unfruitful things. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful. You will bring forth fruit if you will do the things the Lord has showed you to do, won't you? And it goes on to say, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Forgot. You forgot what you were. So, and I sent that post out on that mass text. I sent out, what things do you need to fast from that are unfruitful in your life? Did anybody get that? Hold your hand up if you got that. Did anybody, I'm not even going to have you hold your hands up. Did the Lord speak something to you or things? He spoke many things to me, but did he speak things to you that would get you off your butt and get you about God's work and about the, did anybody get any revelations yet? Praise God, and you didn't even get the text. I mean, that's even better. But that's not enough. Jesus told a story about he went in and cast out all these trespassers and all these demons, and the house was swept and clean. So you get rid of all your bad habits, you get rid of whatever's keeping you away from God, you just get rid of it. And the Bible says if you don't replace that with something, they'll say, hey, come on in, we got an empty house, and we can bring in some more perversion. We can bring in some more sin, and you'll be fighting something. God don't want you to fight this battle. He don't want you to fight it. He just wants you to agree with him. He just wants you to come into agreement with him and believe that he is able to overcome the enemy. Is he not? He can overcome the enemy. Amen? Praise the Lord! Set me free of so many things, praise God. But they're still, they try to creep back in. They try to creep back in. No, I'm not the person I was back in 1980, whatever, but you know what? You got to get that intensity back. That first love intensity that, oh, baby, darling, like when you're dating. Oh, sweetie, you know, I'll do anything to make you happy. Amen? What kind of ring do you want, you know? Where do you want to go, you know, where do you want to go on a date? Right? I hope y'all were like that when you were dating. Maybe you weren't. Maybe like, get your own, go to McDonald's, heck, have a White Castle, man, you know, whatever. But chances are when you were dating, you were on your best behavior, right? Do you guess? And then if you got married, you made vows to each other, right? Well, remember when you first came to Jesus? Now, I'm not saying you've lost any of that intensity. When you first came to Jesus, it's like, God, how could you forgive me for all that? And how could you die on a cross for me? And besides that, how could you make me feel good about myself again? How could you take away the shame? Sarah, how could he do that? How could you take away the shame of my life and just, and give me a good life and set my feet on a solid rock? We got to remember that. We got to remember what it was like, you know. If you've faded a little bit, you know, Jesus hadn't moved away from you. So we need to replace all these unfruitful activities, or maybe one or two. Maybe you've got it all together. But if you've got an unfruitful activity, the Holy Spirit's showing you right now. When Adam and Eve came on the scene, what did he tell them right after they came together in holy matrimony? Yes, he said, be fruitful and multiply. When Noah and the family got off the ark, what did he tell them? Be fruitful and multiply. So you can't multiply unless you're fruitful. So So we were talking about getting rid of unfruitful. We need to add fruitful. We need to fill that house with fruitful things as we take away Gilligan's Island, as we take away the A-team, we take away old Calvin, whatever you get. And I'm not saying it's TV for you, but anything that draws you away from time with God is making you unfruitful. So you got unfruitful things, you need to replace them with fruitful things. And if you'll be diligent to do that for 40 days, I believe you're going to be a brand new creation. I believe this church, I believe the glory cloud's going to just be, not that it's not already, praise God, but it needs to get thicker. Like when I drove last night, I was driving home late and there was this fog, man. It was a thick fog. I thought, man, this is cool. This is what I want in the house of God, don't you? Don't you want to see the Shekinah glory? We sing about it. Don't you want to physically see it? Yeah, we've seen it before, but don't you want to feel it? Don't you want to feel His presence? It's not about feeling. Oh, yeah, we're real feely people. Come on, why do people do drugs? Feel good. Why do people get drunk? To feel good. Why do people do illicit sex? Why is porno so huge? I want to feel good. It's all about feeling. How much more when our spirit gets connected to the Most High, we want to feel Him. There's nothing wrong with that. But like Danny says, when you don't feel Him, you don't go, heck with you, man. I'm going back to that because I don't feel it. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. But when you operate in faith and when you pray and you seek after His presence and you when you do that for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, when you start doing, if you'll do that, if you've got the gift of tongues, if you don't, you need to ask for it. But when you do that and you stop, you can't stop. It's like it's overflow. It's like you got this fountain flowing. And that's what it is, a fountain of living water. So we need to get our minds off of. Renew our minds. That's right. You know what? I don't mind it all if y'all go, come on, preach it. I don't mind you doing that. In fact, I like it. I like it. It's like, you know, you get a home court advantage, guys. I want a home court advantage. Yeah. I want to be in Rupp Arena. I want a home court advantage for me, for y'all at Yum Center maybe, but I don't care. I want a home court advantage. They both screwed up yesterday anyway. It don't matter. They both were losers. Oh, there's no losers. Oh, yeah, there is. Oh, yeah, there is. So they got off the ark, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and what? Subdue it. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now, we got a pretty fruitful church. We got some amazing big families. I think it's awesome because I go to churches. I talk with pastors all the time. They say, well, we don't have no young people. It's dying. I'm going, yeah, it's dying. I say, praise God, we got young people. We got a bunch of little kids. And you can go, oh, yeah, I agree. I want oatmeals, I want babies, I want infants, I want, you know, God, fill this house. Bring the geriat, you know, do whatever, God. But we need, you know, families used to live together, right? Grandma and grandpa, they could go, you know, they were tight with the grandchildren. I mean, everybody has something to give. But, you know, when you quit giving, so praise God. Praise God. Praise God we have young people. Praise God we have little children. Yeah, sometimes they get into things. Sometimes you got to correct them a lot of times in a day, but that's okay. Definitely. Definitely. It's life. You know, I had a parable come to me. I know it's a parable, it's a scripture, but it's going to sound so gross. Y'all are going to want to kick me out of here. I had to, during worship, I drank too much coffee, so I had to go relieve myself. And I looked, and you can't miss it, because, like, what is that in that toilet over there on the left? Like, uh-oh, somebody forgot to flush, so I flush and it starts filling up. I'm like, ah, too much paper. So, you know, there's a scripture that says where the stalls are clean. No, really, it says where the stall is clean, it's great, it's easy. But where the stalls are dirty, there's much work going on. So we got to pray for dirty stalls. That's okay. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God for the little ones. Praise God. Praise God. I'm thankful for them. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. If you want to bring forth good fruit, you've got to be something. You've got to be a good tree. That's right. A good tree brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. That almost sounds like one of them Peter Piper, but he bam, 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 bam. He didn't leave no doubt to what he was saying. There's no way a bad tree can bring good fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. So I don't know for you what it is, but let me just give you a quick example. My 40-day fast, for one thing, is going to be from media. I'm not saying I'm not going to answer this thing. I'm not saying I'm not going to use it for a tool, but it's not going to use me. If you notice, if you think I'm being rude, I haven't looked at my Facebook stuff in months. You think, well, he ain't paying no attention to my post. Well, no, I'm not, because I'm not paying no attention to Facebook. And that's okay. But he showed me I need to, because you ever notice this thing when you're trying to pray, or it just kind of, just look at this, you know? And sometimes you got to cut yourself all the way off from something for it to heal, right? Amen. So I'm fasting from that. And TV, sometimes I'll admit to you, I turn on the TV and just veg. Just like you've been, you know, hard days, like click, it's just mindless. I know it's wrong, but I need to do that. And I'm just being really honest with you. Oh, starting about this fall, I started eating like crazy again. And I need to get back to my, I need to cut that back. I need to not have idleness in my life. You know, idle time, because what it says is idleness is a devil's workshop. And that's very true. Unfruitful words. I need to quit speaking. I need to quit opening this gate. Because you all know people, even in our church, and you're like, oh, man, you know, you start thinking wrong about them. It ain't too long till you're starting to talk to somebody else about them. And boy, God hates that. He hates that. He hates you slandering his babies. He does. He knows their problem. He can take care of it. You just need to pray. Unfruitful words, busyness. Just busy, 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 busy. Somebody said busy earlier. I think it was Danny. Busy. And the last one was worry. Worrying about things you can't change. How many of y'all deal with that? You deal with it. Oh, I got to do this, but I can't do this because I don't have that. It's like, God knows. You just pray for a miracle. Just pray for a miracle, and God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He didn't say all your wants. He said all your needs. Praise the Lord. We've got needs and wants very confused anymore in America, don't we? So he told me to feast for 40 days. He told me instead of to fast from unfruitful thinking and unfruitful things. I told you basically what I was going to deal with, but he told me to make this a 40-day feast, not a fast, but a feast. If we'll feast on things of God, then the fast won't be hard because we'll be filling it with something good, right? So he told me to feast, for me, he told me to feast on the Word of God. Feast on the Word of God. And I used to read through the Bible at least once or twice every year. And that don't make me nothing special. I think everybody should be able to say they've read through the Bible. Don't hold your hands up. I mean Chronicles. I mean Numbers. I mean those dreadful, but they're all there for a purpose. You need to get into them. There's programs. There's no excuse. Your phone will give you a program where you can read 15 minutes a day, and you'll read through the Bible, you'll read through the New Testament twice, and you'll read through Psalms, and you'll read through Proverbs every month. I mean, it's a spiritual, you need to get on that, you need to fill yourself with the Word of God. But that's up to you, how you do it. And I like devotionals, praise God, Jesus is calling, that's all good and wonderful, but sometimes you need to dig deeper. You need to dig in just a little bit deeper. You don't need to dig up what somebody else has dug up for themselves. And I'm not against any of that. I'm just, what's that? They're a good supplement. Yeah, like a vitamin. But you don't quit eating when you start taking vitamins. So, the Word of God, number one, or A, I think it's A. Godly worship and teaching. You can listen to the most anointed preachers and teachers on the whole planet. And if you do miss church, you can listen to a podcast, and you need to see what the body's doing. When you're not here, you need to see what the body's doing. Oh, what went on in Faith Harvest last week? What was said? Man, you can do it on your way to work. What a deal. Godly worship and teaching. And the part about getting my body right, meat and vegetables. Yeah, and he told me to start exercising again. That, you know, my back and my joints and everything is like, it's like, I see you guys that are 20, 30, 40 years old, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I want to be able to dance and sing and jump and bow. I want to be able to do splits like Chuck Berry and wham! Not Chuck Berry, but I want to be able to be active. I don't want to be dead and dried up, man. I want God to move on me. And if I've got something physically going on in here, and I think I do, it's got to go. It needs to be evicted in Jesus' name. He healed me from MS, multiple sclerosis. I can't even say he healed me from that. I know he healed from me. Y'all remember I wore a patch on my eye for 6 months? God healed me of that. Guess what? That's an incurable disease. It is. They can't do nothing about it. But y'all prayed for me, and you prayed for me. There was no worry or fear when that was going on with me, by the way. I'm like, God will fix it. I'll just be off work for a little bit. This is a good rest. He did. He fixed me. I woke up one morning, and I saw a single again. I'm like, wow, this is cool not having to wear this pirate's patch on my eye. God is a healer. God will provide. He will make a way in the wilderness. And a lot of y'all have been seeking after God to heal you for a while. Don't give up. I liked what you said. Don't give up. Get mad at the enemy. Get mad at who done it. And when I hear people say, I don't know why God put this on. God didn't put no disease on you. God didn't put no ailment on you. It was the enemy that put it on you. Does that mean I was out of God's will and living an ungodly life when I had that MS come on me? No, I was living for Jesus. I was living for Jesus very close. How did he get in? I don't know. Who cares? It happened. But he set me free. He will set you free. I don't care what it is. He can set you free. He can raise the dead. God, I pray, Lord, we extend our hands to Jewish hospital right now. God, it's not right that a 50-year-old woman's lungs are dead, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, don't matter why, don't matter what kind of sin brought it on, it don't matter, God. You are a healer. Nancy Gibbons, right now, in the name of Jesus, receive new lungs now in the name of Jesus. Receive new lungs in the name of Jesus. Jesus, if you get a chance, go up there. You might have a greater gift of faith for that than I do. I've been going up there, and I'm not trying to get you to do something you don't have time to do, but if you should be led, go up there. She's on the fourth floor of Jewish. It's a transplant. It's called transplant. It's 405. If you get a chance, go up there. Don't be intimidated. Put on that plastic gown. Put on them rubber gloves. Go in there like you are representing Jesus. You are. Don't get intimidated when they walk in and do tests and da-da-da-da. You're just going to do what you're there to do. You're there to work the works of God. They're there to do medicine. That's how simple it is to go pray for somebody in a hospital. It's so intimidating, though. It is intimidating when you walk in a room and somebody's got a tube down their throat and they've got IVs up. Very intimidating. But you can't be intimidated by that because you're a child of God. You are built to raise the dead. Oh, by the way, do it intimidated. Do it intimidated. Praise the Lord. Okay. Feast on good works. Where did I get? Meat and vegetables, walking and exercise. And F. You don't write this down. Pray and speak life and blessings on others. Pray and speak life on others and bless them. Bless those who curse you. That's what Jesus said. Bless them. You know, not only do they get blessed, you get blessed. And he gives you more blessings to bless with, right? And then last one, I put stand. And when I've done everything I can do to stand, stand. When I'm wore out, and I can't go no further, I take another step. Yeah, and I take another step. And I feel the fire, and I feel the life coming back into me. And I keep taking other steps, and pretty soon I'm jogging. And I can't even jog anymore because my back is so messed up in Jesus' name. But I've been wanting to do this, Jesus! Shoot! Yay! That's what I want to do. I want to run again. I want to run again. I want to run again. How many of y'all got something physical you can't do now you used to do? Hold your hand up. Something I can't do anymore. You want to do it. No, I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about real, real. Claim it. Go for it. Do what you couldn't do before. Come up and get prayer. Okay, can I read you just a little? How many of y'all read your Fast from Wrong Thinking this morning? Here's just a little preview. Just a piece of it. Well, I'm breathing hard. What's that? Where'd that come from? God wants you to have a sound mind because your mind is an access point by which Satan gains entrance into your life. This is strong stuff, man. Listen to it. Your mind is the access point, the door which Satan gains entrance into your life. He does not gain access to your body. He does not gain entrance to your spirit. He does not gain entrance through your finances or sickness. Satan gains entrance or access into your life through the thoughts that you are thinking. The battle we are facing is the battle of our minds. It's the battle between your ears. That is where the battle is won. That is where the battle is lost. It's between our ears. It's in our heads. That is why Satan fights so much in our thought life. He understands the root to everything in our lives is that which we think about. Let me show you how Gregory Dickow is the guy, the pastor, the guy that wrote this. So I'm not claiming I did this. Let me show you how your God's. I didn't write something. Let me show you how your will ultimately results in your future. This is the path of progression. I love this. Your thoughts will determine your decisions. Say, my thoughts
will determine my decisions.
Your decisions will determine your actions. My actions will become my habits. My habits will develop my character. My character will determine my destiny. So, I know everyone here, at least I think everyone here, wants their destiny to be fulfilled, fully filled. How many of y'all have had a vision? How many of y'all have had a prophetic word that you're going to do great things for the Lord? Come on, don't be shy. God's told you that. Let me tell you something. Don't want to step on your parade. There's a big difference between humbleness and false humility. Don't be ashamed of your destiny. Don't be ashamed of your calling. That's right. You shout it from the rooftops. You can. Above all, just keep telling God what He's told you. God, you said that I would preach to thousands. God, you said I would lead thousands to the Lord. He knows my heart. I long to see souls. I long to see people set free and on fire for God and doing the work of the gospel. I'm tired of seeing people become Christians at a Billy Graham crusade and 6 months later, they're never found again. Only 10% of the people that come to them altars are ever found again. Is that Billy Graham's fault?
No.
You got to take what God has given you. And I'm telling you, this year is pivotal. I believe we're going to see a major, and y'all say, well, he says that at revival all the time. He said, yes, I say it all the time because I believe it and God promised it. Just because I've only seen just a little bit of it don't mean God's not willing to give it to me. He said, ask, keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock, and keep on knocking, and the door will be open. You ain't knocked enough. You ain't asked enough. You ain't seeked enough. You ain't obeyed His commandments enough. And it ain't about obeying commandments that gets you any, that don't get you no points with God, but it builds your destiny. It builds your character. Amen? Oh, Jesus. I invite you to jump, young people. I invite you to jump on this wagon. You got awesome destiny. You guys got awesome destiny. Every young person in here, you've got an awesome, Hannah, you got an awesome destiny. Every one of you. But there was this guy in the Bible that sold it for a bowl of soup. How sick is that? And we read that story and think, oh God, who would do that? All of us. All of us would do it if the soup was right. But praise God we're saved. Praise God we're free. Praise God we know who we are. Praise God we're not going back. It's not an option. It's not an option. So we need to commit the first 40 days of this year. We need to commit this in 19 days, I think, something, or is it 20? Something really amazing is going to happen. 19 days. Just a miracle that even could have happened. And praise God that, am I looking? Anyway, I got word the other day. Oh, there you are, Opal, where you always are. No, really. She said the other day, she said, we're out of communion cups. I'm like, well, we had enough for one more week, so Donna ordered some. She said, I said, how many boxes? She said, how many boxes you want to order? If we get them all shipped together, we get free shipping or something. I said, well, just get however many we get. I lugged the box. I was like, I lugged that box in there, and I looked at the label, and you know what it said? 10,000 communion cups. 10,000. You know, we've been praying for the past 2 years for a 10,000-fold increase, a 10,000-fold increase in your finances and your physical life and your spiritual life. I thought, you got to be dense if you think this is a coincidence. I would have never ordered 10,000 communion cups. But no, they'll be used quickly. And I'm believe. You know, why do we get 100 new chairs and why do we have 70 or 80 behind them curtains right there? Because we're going to need them. This place is going to be full in Jesus' name. It ain't about this place being full, but it's about being full with the Holy Spirit and power. It's about you being fired up and renewed. Ho! Shakata karabasate. Brother Dan, put on some traveling music. I think some people need to hit their knees. I do. No, seriously, if you know that, especially if you know that God's spoken to you, I need to deal with some unfruitful things in my life, and I need God for you to replace them with some good, fruitful things. If you will do that, if you'll make that vow to Him, I'm not going to ask you to come up here, okay. Now, we're all going to make our New Year's resolution. No. This is a resolution to God. This ain't a resolution to man. This is, what do you want me to do, God? And if you want me to do it, you will give me the strength to keep it, right? You will give me the strength to keep it. And if I fall off the wagon the first day, guess what? I get back on the first day. Amen? I will not be defeated. There was a song, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus from Satan. What was it? From Satan's pit. To me. Yes. We need to bring back some of them little praise songs. They were powerful. They were powerful. So, in Jesus' name, let's stand up. Lord God, we raise our hands to you and we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming me from the pit. Thank you, Lord, for new life in Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for taking me this far, God. Thank you that you will not drop me off here and let me die in the wilderness, God. I am going, we are going together into the promised land. We're going to the land flowing with milk and honey. We're going to a place where we see souls, 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 souls. God, we're going to feel the wind of repentance, the wind of revival, the wind of reformation, and a wind of restoration blow across our land in Jesus' name. God, we give you thanks for the Highway 150 corridor. We thank you, God, for the 100-mile radius you have set around this church. We will see a move of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Bless Pastor James and Leah right now, God. Send your spirit. God, bowl them over with your presence right now. Pastor Paul and Geneva Barden, God. Ho, move, 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 move. Move in Hardensburg Assembly of God in Jesus' name, God. Mighty God, move in Quad Cities, Iowa, God, in Jesus' name. Move with power. Move right there on the Mississippi River. Move in Mount Vernon, Kentucky, in Jesus' name. Move in the Greens in the west end of Louisville where they got a new murder record, God. Move in that place, God, and send life. Send revival. So if you need to come up here and just commit something to the Lord, please come, 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 come. Revival, fire, fall. Come on. Kneel down if you got something to give to the Lord. I'll pray for people in a minute, but kneel down if you got something to give to the Lord. Revival, fire, fall. Pour out your spirit, the power of your spirit. Father, let revival fire fall. Revival fire fall. That's a good soldier. Revival fire fall. Shikarabakorabasita bateya.